Hot 97 Summer Jam 2024, performing this year.
Yo, it's Doja Cat.
Yeah.
Hey, what's happening? Your boy Offset. I will be live June 2nd.
Sexy Red.
This your boy Mac Man.
What's up, rap world? This is Rat Man.
Sleepy Hollow.
Yo, what up, my people? It's your boy David.
T Grizzly. 41. Hot 97 Summer Jam 2024. Tickets on sale now at Ticketmaster.com. Styles and Rosenberg.
D.L. Hughley is at Caroline's on Broadway. D.L., before we get into the shenanigans of the world today, which I know you love to cover, I want to talk about just comedy and you and being back in clubs and navigating Corona. Talk about all of that and how you felt when things were crazier outside, because I know you were still doing some shows, but you was being mad careful.
Well, you know, I was been so careful that I caught Corona, passed out on stage.
Oh, right. Yeah, that was.
But
scary,
you was trying, though. You was trying, though. You was trying.
I was trying, but I think everybody had to kind of reevaluate who they were and what they believed their place was in the world. I think it was a tough time for me because it was the first time, I guess, in 30 years I hadn't, worked every weekend. So. But I think some good things really came out of it. I think the verses was dope. I think that you got a honest assessment of who you were and what you believe. And I think, the world listened a little better. So on balance, I think it had some positive aspect.
What did it change, for you? Like I just finished just earlier this morning. I was just saying coronavirus, really helped me and improved my life. Regardless of, almost losing my brother and other family members that, but what it did when I look at how focused it made me, both, with my food and my habits and my exercise, and my relationships and my time with my daughter. What did it do for you, though?
I think a lot of those same things, but it also crystallized where people were. There are some very dumb people, man.
Oh.
And they're very dumb people. I think that there are people who... I think that I learned more succinctly that there are people who refuse to see certain realities for whatever reason. Mm. And those are people that I just don't have time for. I think that if you came out of this corona and you weren't better or more focused, then I can't see how you could fit into my life, my space. Really did tell you how, I'll tell you one thing it did. It showed me how before Corona, we were like supposed to be this Christian country, but during the quarantine, churches was closed, but liquor stores was open. So it showed us exactly who we were.
That's right.
We got to see exactly who we were.
Right.
And that kind of extrapolates out with every relationship. I got to see exactly who people were. I got to know who I was, and I got to know what was important to me and not.
Now, were you frustrated with COVID deniers? Are you frustrated with the vaccination process?
It's funny. I mean, I think that I love my people, and I think that like most reasonable people know that if you accept the reality of what's happening, it impacted Black and Brown people exponentially more than everybody else, right? So it was this real weird process where people would get mad at you. Look, I got Corona. I infected 10 people, two of which are still having long-term implications from what I did. And the idea that I would, that it would be money that motivated me for not to see that repeat itself was a little insulting, but that's kind of what people were. But I think that I just didn't want people to kind of go through what I've been through. I didn't want people, and I said this before, it was so bad, like the dizzy spells and months after Corona was so bad. I was like, I'm gonna take myself out of here. I ain't finna do this. It was really that bad.
Wow,
and to hear and to know that, and then to hear people tell you it ain't real, and then watch people around you die, I was like, man, you know what? I really ain't got time. I'm not going to bump my head against the wall.
What I thought I gathered from what you just said then, and I know you're always on social and you're very active and you're on TV and you say a lot of things. Were people coming after you saying that you were like promoting the vaccine for some way to get money as opposed to wanting to protect people?
Right. I think that's, and that just shows you where people are. Listen, now I can understand, like, Black people, we ain't fucking with the Johnson & Johnson. We like the baby powder niggas? We ain't gonna mess with them.
Talcum powder? Y'all trying to kill us with talcum powder.
Right. So I understand. But I would hate when celebrities would say dumb stuff. Like, I would hear, like, I ain't taking out trust. Bitch, ain't you on cocaine? Like, that's what I don't understand.
Oh, my
you
God.
You'll trust Merck, but you won't trust... You'll trust Madman, but you won't trust Merck. I don't understand that. You know what I mean? And it was really an opportunity. And I think even now, to see where people were, like what kind of space they were in. And I found a lot of people who I really was close to, who I really had a lot of respect for, that I just kind of can't see in the same light anymore.
That's right. I mean, it's definitely over the last 5-6 years happened multiple times, even from dealing with the political landscape of sure. the last president, where you're right. like, wait, you don't understand what's happening, right? You don't right. see why this is a bad right. presidential
you think
option?
This is, you think this is just Republicans and Democrats we're talking about?
Right.
Yeah, like I started it then, and then obviously, you know, COVID exacerbated the showing of ignorance in society.
But look, it shows how America, like people like in America is so silly because we believe everything's about us. Like we forget that 5 million people, like America has more than any other country in the world. India is the next and they got 1.4 billion people. So we 22% of their population. And it's because we're fat and we're free, but we're not fat free. Like we refuse to exist. Like it's people here believe that this is a conspiracy that they can get a chip in you. And your dumb ass, what they need a chip in you for? Who like you? Who are you if the world stops on a dime to fool you? Well, what if it changed my DNA? Well, then you won't own child support, will you? Like, okay, that. Like, Americans are so insulated that we'll have a World Series with just us in it. And
facts.
Believe that's
facts.
So true.
So it just showed exactly how small we were. Like, we forget, like, and people, like, at the same time the Tuskegee experiment were happening, Black and brown people all over the world were getting vaccinated for polio. Polio, smallpox, what it existed for 180 some years. It just got eradicated in what, 1980? Mm. And that was because the world got vaccinated. Polio's on the verge of eradication. It only exists in two places, Afghanistan and Pakistan. That's because they're so rural, it's hard to get to them. So, and everybody who lives right now, went to school right now, took a vaccine.
That's right.
My granddaughter took the same polio vaccine. That a variation of the same polio vaccine that we all. If you got a killer in on your arm, you need to shut the fuck up about vaccines.
There's definitely people walking around here with marks on their shoulders from when they got the vaccines.
Whether you want it or don't want it.
Well, now what I hear you saying, right? What I hear you saying, DL, is there's a level of ignorance and lack of understanding, but then there's just also people who are lying. But it seems like you are sympathetic and empathetic to people who are fearful just because of history that they've learned or learned incorrectly. Like some people think Tuskegee was about people being given poison, not about the fact that they were lied to and not given anything.
Yeah, they were denied treatment.
Yeah.
But that's what happens. It happens because people will tell half truths. And it was the predatory ignorance I couldn't stand. Like I get ignorance that you're just not exposed to or untrustworthy. Who isn't like that? I can't say that I would have been as trusting as I was. Not that I have any great degree of trust, but I wouldn't have been as willing as I was to do something if I didn't want relief from what was going on with long COVID. I can't say that either. If I hadn't gotten it and contracted and seen how it, man, I was going to the hospital, like the doctors all the time to see what was going on. Was it my heart? Was it my lungs? Was it my circulatory? Like it was a crazy thing. So maybe absent that experience, I don't have it. But it's the predatory nature of people that try to just take advantage of people, like to sell them things that, like, we're a dumbass. Like, you don't trust a doctor, but you'll trust a nigga stacking crepes in your yard. Come on, man. It just was funny.
It must be hard, though, hearing that you were so. Not only did you gave it to 10 other people, and you have to deal with that, the sadness of that to people long term, but you were dealing with long COVID too. That must be incredibly frustrating that you're going to, yo, let's just be honest for a second, DL. Going to the doctor sucks. Repeatedly
it
going
does.
To the doctor over and
it
over.
Does.
That must be so draining, and then have people downplaying the whole thing must drive you nuts.
And then have doctors not be able to, they didn't even, we're just hearing about long COVID now, right? So if I got it in June, and I can tell you this, the dizzy spells didn't stop. Like, it was severe. Like, when I would go on stage, bro, my blood pressure would drop so bad, I'd have to take packets of salt and drink Gatorade if I went on stage. Like all the, and I was like, if this is gonna be my life, I don't want to do this anymore.
So it was almost like the anticipation of performance and your heart rate going up caused your body to go into some sort of have a reaction almost because COVID was in your body, is what I hear you saying. Well,
I don't know if it was the fact that, you know, I'm like, passing out was a very traumatic, like, I was like, I'm passing out in front of the fucking world. Like, I'm getting ready to.
Right,
So there, probably there was some, you know, shock about that. But then it was just, if I moved too fast, if I bent down, it was such a, they could never make the connection to what was going on in my heart. Like, it was a crazy thing. And then they didn't know what it was. And then you think that you're crazy. You think like, well, maybe they couldn't find anything. And then months later, you hear about this long COVID. And then you have conversations with doctors and they tell you that that's what it is. Like, my son has to go to a cardiologist because his heart flamed up. Somebody I work with now, never had diabetes before. And now they have it because no one knows. And so to know that you've been a part of that, I mean, to know that you've actually done that to people, whether it was inadvertent or not, I think it changes the way you see things, and it makes things certainly a lot clearer.
The political landscape and vaccines becoming political also contributed to a lot of what we're seeing today, right? Where literally your health and your ability to avoid a virus became a Democrat versus Republican.
Sure.
And I saw you talking about that on Instagram, and you post a lot of poignant things. I don't know if there's anything you want to share with that, because you going out doing shows and having this conversation, what's the energy you're getting from the audience?
Hot 97 Summer Jam 2024, performing this year.
Yo, it's Doja Cat.
Yeah.
Hey, what's happening? Your boy Offset.
I will be live
June 2nd.
Sexy Red.
This your boy Mac, man.
What's up, rap world? This is Rat Man.
Sleepy Hollow.
Yo, what up, my people? It's your boy David.
T Grizzly. 41. Hot 97 Summer Jam 2024. Tickets on sale now at Ticketmaster.com.
Well, you know, I think audience initially, I think the more things have come into place, like now when I'm performing the Carolines, you got to be back. I'm in New York right now, right? So I live in L.A. I got the place in New York, so I come here. So us taking our vaccine card out is just part of life.
That's right.
Like, I want to go to this restaurant. I want to go to this thing here. This is what this is, right? It's transactional. But you go to other parts of the world or other country, and there's nothing. There are no limitations like that. So it depends really on where you are. Like you got to, if you want to work during COVID, you had to go to a state where the governor didn't give a fuck about his people. Like, you had to go, oh, okay, these niggas don't care, I'll go there.
COVID
you
don't exist, I mean? Here. People are dying from it, but it don't exist.
Right, stop it. You Florida, come on now, stop it. So, but it really depends. Almost invariably, anything, how you are politically, what you believe religiously, what you believe socially, is oftentimes predicated on where you choose to live, the people you surround yourself.
Right.
And I think most people surround themselves with people who constantly edify their position. I think that's silly. I think you should, I think most people want to play home games, but you'll never be a champion unless you can win on the road. Mm. And so I think it's just about trying to be who you are no matter what the circumstances are, and to have that perspective no matter what people are saying. So COVID crystallized that for me.
DL, this Rittenhouse trial, I'm sure you had something to say about
sure.
it. First of all, tell me where you at, or where you are on the outrage, you know, scale. You know what I'm saying?
Well,
when this thing came down.
I think white tears are the best. I mean, white tears clean out blood better than Clorox. That's what I want for Christmas, white tears. And let's be clear that America has always lionized and loved people who brutally murder black people. And even people who support black people can caught up it. Because if I kill you, you a nigga. But if you support black people, you a nigga lover. So it's the same thing.
Mm-hmm.
So whether it's 1961 in Mississippi, where two white men are killed trying to register people to vote, or whether it's in Wisconsin, where two white people are marching for Black Lives Matter. America has always lionized people who murder black people heinously. All the statues you see of Confederate generals There are way more statues to Robert E. Lee than there are to Jesus. The last white dude got a statue that didn't fuck over niggas was Rocky. And he beat the shit out of Apollo Creed. So it's not... I thought it was just a continuation of that. That phenomenon exists. All those men were murdered. Everybody know who did it. The jury was comprised of a certain amount of people, and they all got vindicated. All of them. And I'll accept the Rittenhouse jury when white people accept OJ.
Mm. Were you surprised at all? At all?
Nothing. I don't think, here's the thing. Nothing white people do in secret surprised me at all. Nothing.
Yeah,
I don't care if it's the grand jury or the grand dragon. Nothing they do in secret. I don't think white people should be able to have anything that conceals them from view. I don't think they have curtains or blinds. Or
oh, my God.
You're not wrong.
You're not to see them. when you knew, you can't tell me the nigga in the country didn't know it was 11 white people. You knew it was going to happen.
Oh, when they just do it. Like, well, see, here's my thing. When they weren't going to charge him for having an illegal weapon, the case was over.
Right.
It was over already. It was over.
This was insulting. That man left. So this is what I'm supposed to believe. The dude who left the state he didn't live in, came to the state he didn't live in, with a gun to a protest, was the one minding his own business. But you don't have to even have credulity. You don't even have to. It doesn't even have to strain credulity. Nobody. That dude wasn't crying. I haven't seen a dude act that bad since Stacey Dash. Like, who can't cry? Like, this dude couldn't even cry.
Yo, the crying,
like, you don't even
oh my
have
God.
To be credible.
Yo, the crying was crazy.
You don't have to be credible.
So frustrating, DL, because when you realize that they weren't punishing him for getting up and leaving his home state for absolutely no reason, you thought, oh, if this is just going to be this idea that he's allowed to be there, well, now you have video of him getting hit with skateboards and stuff, so they're going to be able to say he didn't do anything wrong. Meanwhile, if you're a black kid who's 17 wearing a sweatshirt and you have Skittles in your hand or a soda in your hand, that in the place where you're supposed to be, mind you, in
right.
your home state, visiting your father in the state
your
where
father,
he lives,
right?
You can't do that. So the whole it's just another reminder. The trial itself seems like whatever. I kind of knew it would go that way. It's just a reminder that the entire thing is built to work this way.
And you got to remember, he left Illinois, came to Wisconsin. The police in Wisconsin, they forfeited the citizen for that murderer. The citizens of Wisconsin put those people in place to protect them. And they let an interloper come in, murder them, and then they championed his cause. That judge put his finger clearly on the scales of justice. And I think that the country is full of earnest-looking white dudes who look unassailable, who constantly do things like that. They constantly do. I'm not gonna let him be called a murderer, but they can be called looters and rioters. And then it's always.
He said I'm not gonna let them
top.
Be called victims.
Victims, yeah.
Victims, and, okay. and I'm gonna be like, it's always under the auspice. And our system is set up so that there are supposed to be these men who are the above reproach and who have an allegiance to duty that they clearly do not. And I think we cannot have a system where it's permeated with men and women who believe that they can do that and will do whatever they can to tip the scales of justice.
The proof is on January 6th. How many doctors, lawyers, judges' kids,
yeah.
police officers, firemen, nurses, mm-hmm. teachers showed up on January 6th? And what they was really mad on January 6th, and we can't say it enough, they was mad that black people's votes counted in places where they needed to count.
No, they were mad that they counted. Here's the thing. The argument is that the election was rigged and that specifically black people rigged the election, which is crazy because usually when some of this nigga rigged, it don't work. So that's the same. But but the idea is that 70-some% of white people voted away and the others, the blacks, the browns, the yellows, voted another. And they don't quite think that we are really American citizens, so they felt that they were robbed, that they were cheated, that the will of them, that their will wasn't followed through with, and they got angry about
and that
it.
Their will supersedes ours.
That always, yeah. So you can't, I can't, and that nobody's going to jail. Like nobody's going to jail. Like nobody.
I mean, barely.
Like I ain't talking about jail. I'm talking about one dude got 4 years, but I'm talking about. Can you imagine? And I know we do this all the time. There was actually a shortage of law enforcement there that day. That's a phenomenon black protesters are. If we don't see law enforcement, it's because we got tear gas in our eyes. Like, that's the only reason we wouldn't see them. And I think
the truth.
I think that it's just like, even when you like, I'm watching Ahmaud Arbery, and at the end of the day, the prosecutor, who I think she was the defense attorney for Bryant,
McMichael and Bryant, yeah, that's the.
Mm-hmm.
She said that she talked about his long, dirty toenails. Now, what she was doing is morphing him into an animal.
That's right.
But if he actually were an animal, he'd have been treated more humanely. You couldn't shoot a dog that was running through your neighborhood. You couldn't get in your truck, grab guns, and shoot a dog. You couldn't do that to a bear. You couldn't see a wolf in your backyard and do what you did. As a matter of fact, Georgia had a law that the law they're referencing is from 1861. They were the first one, the citizens, where citizens could be marshaled, they could be weaponized to go out and hunt.
And they're trying to use that in the case right now to say that they were volunteering,
right.
Basically.
Right.
They were militia that were taking up right. arms, if you will.
That law happened right after the civil rights, 1861, that law happened, right? It just got abolished, stricken off the books in May 2021. But you know what happened before that? Georgia put a law on the books that made it criminal to be cruel to animals. So if they're going to portray us as animals, they should treat us as humanely as they do animals. Like, I would rather have a fucking game warden take care of us than a sheriff or a police officer. Because you couldn't hunt, you could not shoot a deer the way they did that. You hunt a deer out of season, take too many, kill them close to their home. They have blue laws to protect deers, and we don't even have black laws to protect us. So it's silly to me to pretend as if you're going to morph us into animals, then treat us as humanely as you would then. We would have commercials and orange vests on and places in the endangered species area. That'd be dope.
So let me let me ask you.
Yo, wait, time out. He said, yo, we need a national reserve for black people.
Right, right. Man, like, come on now.
And at least seasons where you could be safe, Regina.
Right.
You know, it's like springtime, right. You're good. Now, so DL, you're obviously, you follow everything. Seriously, when you're home thinking about the future, what do you see happening big picture over the next 10 years? Is Trump going to be reelected? If he is reelected, how bad is this thing going to get? Like, what do you see happening?
I think that for the first time in our lives, black and brown people have they can manifest their own destiny, because there are people who are refusing. we're having more children. They're not having as many. It depends. We have really, for the first time in my memory, we have a big say in what happens. And if we're apathetic, I think that there are things that are going to go a certain way. And if we're not, because what we need is respect for our political prowess. And that only happens by putting people in place that will kind of do what you want. And if that starts to happen more and more, I think, regardless of what they do, I think this is white supremacy on its last gasp. It is it trying to morph and do what it can to survive. And I think that survival is predicated on how active we are in changing our lives.
Well, it's just like what you're seeing right now with the I guess, fabricated outrage around critical race theory, which isn't taught at any school unless you're in college. Anywhere.
Unless you're in law school specifically.
Hot 97 Summer Jam 2024, performing this year.
Yo, it's Doja Cat.
Yeah.
Hey, what's happening? It's your boy Offset.
I will be live
June 2nd.
Sexy Red.
This your boy Meth Man.
What's up, rap world? This is Rat Man.
Sleepy Hollow.
Yo, what up, my people? It's your boy David.
T Grizzly. 41. Hot 97 Summer Jam 2024. Tickets on sale now at Ticketmaster.com.
But here's the thing that always bothered me about that. There is no, this is the truth. There's not one abomination that you could imagine, that you could fathom in your mind, that hasn't been visited on black people by the hands of white people in this country. Not one thing. You couldn't think of anything more. From cutting genitals off and eating lunch while they do it, to cutting babies out of pregnant children, to
killing black folks to just use their hair to stuff couches and make lamps and tables and use the bones for all that.
There's nothing you're capable of conceiving as a human being that hasn't happened to us. And you believe, and that wouldn't now. Like, the problem is that you want to continue to do it. It isn't like... You want, what you want is leeway. It's not that you don't want to feel bad. is that you want. It's not a, we're not. I'm not telling you that I want you to feel bad for your past. I don't want you to use it as a blueprint for the future, a blueprint for the future. Like if we continue to not accept what has happened, then it's those who don't learn from history are destined to pretend like it didn't exist.
That's right. That's facts. And there is definitely people running from, they want all of the glory of American exceptionalism.
Right.
Without any of the responsibility.
Any of the actual exceptional work.
Without any of the responsibility of the travesty, trauma, death, and murder. You want all of the upside.
Right.
Without any of the acknowledgement of what it took and what you had to do to harm, maim, rape, and kill to get to this point.
Yeah, and you're absolutely right. And I'll tell you what else. You want to do it again. If America were all that exceptional, what the fuck are we doing here anyway? And like America became exceptional because it bought these black, brown people, black, brown, and yellow people from all. When you look at every leap forward America had, it was at the hands of somebody who didn't look like a classic American. If they were all that exceptional, what are we doing here? Who built your bridges, your road? Like when I hear white
railroads,
people
say, all that. Look at all the money, and that's you're now you're moving into the 1619 project, which that book is out right now. Listen, all of the money that you used to go to war was made because you had zero payment to pay out for all of the goods you traded and sold to get those weapons and do those deals to go into a revolution.
Right.
Well, and jump forward to now, the only valuable export that America has is culture, and our culture is only based on everything black. So that's our only export now. So let's be honest, is the black cool that is America that's traded all over the world?
Right.
That's all we got.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, here's the thing. The idea of America sells pretty good too. Like, you know, you ever get
the marketing plan. Yeah, the best
PR team in the world.
Listen, man, we have only the Bible got a better PR team now.
That's facts. That's all.
That's all. But it's so funny because it just, like, ultimately, all anybody wants is to be treated. Like, if there was a black superhero, I don't think he should have any superpower at all. I think it's a superpower would be to be treated like a human being. Is a bird, is a plane. No, it's a nigga getting a home loan.
Just being treated decently.
It's a bird. It's a plane. No, it's a brother with a line of credit.
Oh my God. Our superpower is not having any powers because they think we got superpowers anyway. Like our power
is the reverse.
Just to be a regular dude.
Yo, that's funny. You put up on your Instagram just a moment ago. You said, why did a Netflix documentary know more about Malcolm X's death than the FBI?
Because they wanted to know.
Right. They actually cared.
I don't know if they cared or not, but they wanted to know.
That's right. They wanted the actual information.
They wanted to know.
Yeah, they're making a movie. Right.
And they made a movie. And you know, by the way, we're going to let you niggas out because, you know, we found out that y'all didn't have. When I see the things that the world gets worked up about, as a comedian, it's so funny to me because I don't think there should be anything that's sacred. Now, I don't think that you should be reckless, and I think that you should be, intentional, but I don't think any subject, by definition, is off limits because we don't function in society that way. If we were this genteel, urbane, sophisticated, humane society, then it would be one thing, but we're pretending to be one thing and hating to see that, hating to see that image of ourselves. So we're trying to clean up our image, but not our act. And so I think comedy cuts through that.
Well, I think that's what Chappelle was attempting to accomplish and did in many ways with his special. Now, there were definitely people who were, feelings were hurt, and that rightfully so, I get it. But I think the conversation was the attempt.
But why though? Like, I never got that part. Here's the thing. What they asked for, what employees of Netflix asked for, the LGBTQ, they got all the alphabets, so if I miss one, I don't want to be. But what they asked for, and they wanted his images to be taken down. They wanted jobs set aside, and they wanted money, right? That's right.
Well, yeah, I was mostly talking about before the employees of the Netflix, just the group, who were offended.
Even at that, what they were asking for is reparations. they were asking for reparations. They were saying, we're so aggrieved by this black dude. He hurt our feelings. We want reparations. That in it, and everybody could see exactly what it was. Everybody could see he was a comedian, not Thomas Jefferson. He told a joke. He didn't sell your children, your mother and father off. I think it, in the end, you can tell how much steam it had by people don't care what happens in the break room. They care what happens in the boardroom. Nobody lost. I think the truth of the matter is, whether people say this out loud or not, Chappelle gained more gravitas and fans, and that movement lost some respectability because people thought it took itself way too seriously and it was way out of bounds with what actually happened.
I think that's the problem, though. I think that's where people feel hurt about it, is that why did Chappelle gain gravitas potentially because of that back and forth with the LGBTQ community? I think they would argue that's because there's already such hatred for that community that when there's a simple back and forth with them, it motivates people to go, I like this Dave Chappelle. Because let's be real, DL. I like Dave. I don't have a problem with Dave morally. I think Dave's a good dude. But by bringing up that subject, there are people now who are fans of him simply because they view him as a vessel for anti-LGBTQ. Okay. And that in itself is the problem.
Or maybe the country had been through 2 years with what's women being shot in beds, men being smothered to death in front of our very eyes, children being drugged and killed, like what happened to Les McCain. And maybe the grievance that community came up with just didn't stack up to what the heinous stuff they saw.
But then, maybe on but then, balance, but then here were, we end up in a, but now we end up in a spot, DL, where instead of the group that ends up skating in all of this, so now we basically essentially have on some level people upset with the LGBTQ community. Why y'all complaining so much? You have an aggrieved black community because they are constantly aggrieved in this country. And the only people skating are white straight males. So, like, well, you have Dave and the LGBTQ community sort of going back and forth.
But see, that was Dave. But see, that was Dave's point. Part of the point of the stand-up that I got from it was we're going at each other about all of this stuff. And really what I've been trying to tell y'all is it's the white man. It's the institution of white supremacy that has created all of this shit.
See, I don't think that was clear, though. I think that's how you take it, and when you express it, I feel it.
Not be clear, though. Here's my whole problem with it. It was a fucking joke. And it was a joke that you had to seek. If you, like, a concert or whatever, you have to seek that out.
Like,
it can't just force you to watch it. There were people who watched that with the attempt, with the idea of being offended.
True.
Now, it falls flat on its face when you say these words were hurtful to our community. And these, and I understand that. We watched a man who used real words and got people murdered in San Antonio and El Paso, people, white supremacist kids, and nobody cares shit about that. Nobody says anything. Somebody used real words to make somebody attack the United, attack democracy. No, they use real words, mm-hmm. and that real world words have an impact. So maybe on balance, seeing all of that shit, a joke. Come on now.
Now, DL, in comedy, being offensive. Now, I've known DL long enough to where I used to go see DL warm up the crowd for LL Cool J sitcom. That's how long I've been watching DL Hughley. Mm. So remember when LL Cool J? What was the sitcom called? DL.
Out all night.
In the house. And you went to go to tapings of this.
I just went. And I heard DL was, he was like, DL's open. I was like, let's go. I had free time. I don't know what I was doing, but I went. Okay. And it was LL Cool J's sitcom. So I went.
Okay.
DL used to get on stage and would cuss motherfuckers out. Now, this is a warm up for a sitcom.
Right.
For an LL Cool J, I think it was on ABC.
Yeah.
Yeah, it was on ABC.
It was a wholesome sitcom.
It was DL's on stage, motherfucker this, fuck that, this one that. DL used to get Twizzy on stage. DL cussed motherfuckers out of the audience. They would be so offended that they would get up and walk out. Now, this was during his stand-up, but he was also doing this as a warm-up act for a sitcom and ran a family. I think it was a family. Yeah. It probably happened multiple times. He don't fucking remember. Yeah. But back to being, back to offending people and people being offended by a comic. My point is that it's been happening forever. Mm-hmm. Where a comic gets on stage, said there are people who are going to be offended. Like it's been forever, right, DL, for you?
Yeah. Here's the thing. I think that that happened. I mean, when Tracy Morgan told a joke about if his son were gay, he'd kill him. Something like that. I don't remember the joke, but I remember him apologizing to it. And that was the first time I'd ever heard, in my recollection, a comedian apologizing for a joke. And I think that that started this tumult. But I think that we can't have unassailable. The only way we've ever moved forward is because we were able. The only time anybody ever listens to black people or brown people is when we sing, run, jump, or joke. That's the only time they ever listen to us. Only time. So I think comedy, from our perspective, has more gravitas, is more pivotal, because it's the only time we get entree into the conversation. Mm-hmm. We never really get to talk about anything unless you're singing about it or joking about it or writing about it or painting about it. You have to use your art to be a part, to amplify a perspective that oftentimes they can't accept. They can't take it undiluted. So, and I think it just really, I just think nobody is above, I just think some shit is hilarious. And it's just, like, to me, I can't get mad. Like, I don't care that, like, the whole trans, that's not even, that doesn't register to me to be mean to somebody about something that they feel. But right. It got to be some kind of ways that it's got to be different from my relationship, because it's shit you ain't got to worry about. I ain't got to worry about those pregnancy scares and no shit like that. Like, I'm late, motherfucker, for what, work? Are you late for work? I think no subject is off limits. And fuck who gets offended. I mean, literally, if you don't fuck with me, if you don't rock with me, then you don't even have to, you have the power to not hear anything I have to say. That's within your hands.
But what you
don't have the power to do is make sure nobody else does that.
Do you see your fellow comedians being more careful, though, about their content?
I don't really, I haven't really taken a poll in terms of, you know, I think that, no, I would never let anybody see. The most expensive real estate in the world is what's between your ears. And I think that if that's their mindset, they probably know they wouldn't say it to me. I mean, I wouldn't ever have been in a conversation where I would hear some shit like, I'm scared. What are they going to not like you? Like, what they like you?
Right. And that's part of my point of bringing it up, too, is because comedians exist in a space where when you get on stage, you are trying to make most people laugh, and you're playing with things, joking about things that are going to offend some people. Like, that's been a part. Yeah. And the reason I brought it up to you, DL, is because you've lived in that space for a long time.
Hot 97 Summer Jam 2024, performing this year.
Yo, it's Doja Cat.
Yeah.
Hey, what's happening? Your boy Offset.
I will be live June 2nd.
Sexy Red.
This your boy Mac, man.
What's up, rap world? This is Rat Man.
Sleepy Hollow.
Yo, what up, my people? It's your boy David O.
T. Grizzly. 41. Hot 97 Summer Jam 2024. Tickets on sale now at Ticketmaster.com.
Right. And it's really, we're having an argument about an art form that has done exactly what it's doing right now since the beginning of time. An art form. Mark Twain used to talk about slavery and racism at a time you literally could die for it. Literally. You look at Lenny Bruce and Pryor and Gregory and the things they did, and all of a sudden, that paradigm that has existed as long as we've been human beings is under threat because some people decided that they should be above being a part of the human condition, a part of the conversation. There's not one joke ever told that didn't have a victim. Not one. Not one. And that is unfortunately going to be a lot for people to understand.
Listen, I feel like that's a slight oversimplification. I watched the whole special, right? There's two Jewish jokes, of which the group that I'm in didn't bother me, because I feel that Jews and Dave Chappelle, that relationship is comfortable to me. I understand, though, the LGBTQ's community as a group that does, especially trans people, feel that they're in physical danger in this country, that raising a conversation in that way is dangerous for them. So I understand all of this, and I really do. Like, I waffle back and forth on it. And I also don't support the idea of trying to ban him from Netflix because of his jokes. However, I do understand a special sensitivity.
But I think that's what DL's saying, too. DL is saying that people get offended, right? Like, and I think this, even Dave Chappelle is saying that, too. Like, you are right to be mad. You are right to be offended. But does that mean that now this thing gets people, other people can't laugh at it because you're offended?
I don't believe that should happen.
I think literally, fuck them if they can't take a joke. Literally. Why do I care when you think
but that? That
I
energy mean? Has to be kept across a lot of lines. I don't think we all have that energy. No, I know there are lines for Jewish jokes where I'm going to go, nah, not funny anymore, fam. Who are you? Well, I don't trust you.
Why would I care? Your trust, what you think of me is none of my business. Not all. We don't have the same ids, the same ideas, the same mores, the same norms. I don't expect to be some interpreter. I don't expect. All I'm responsible for is the way I see things. That's all I'm responsible for. Not how they people receive them, not whether they like them or not.
But what about when the line blurs between comedy and political commentary?
But it has to be my line, not some subjective one. It has to be my line.
Right. No, that's true.
It has to be an internal line.
Listen, so now, DL, going to, I'm interested that we're staying here, because you're talking specifically about comedians, right?
Sure.
Not people who have a job like a president or a policeman or...
But go even lower down than that, a broadcaster. Go to Fox News hosts. You know what I'm saying? We're podcast hosts who have large influence. Where does he go?
Here's the thing. I've been offended by any number of things. Like me and Megyn Kelly got into it. I wrote a best-selling book about it. So I've been upset about any number of things. And I think they said some incredibly incendiary, racist things. As a matter of fact, Tucker Carlson can't even really have advertisers. Like, he doesn't really have advertisers, right? He still gets the right to do it. I don't care that he does that, because guess what? I can control what I hear.
I agree.
I agree with that.
It should never be about whether they have the right to do it. I agree with you on that 1,000%.
But it's not even about the right. And I think policemen and judges and all these other people that we're trying to lump into, they can control my life.
Right.
They can take their beliefs and have them manifest in a way that disastrously can affect
my life.
That's why I'm making the distinction.
Right.
Is because a lot of times people want to group entertainers
that you have
and
to
broadcasters
out.
Right. into right. people who enforce laws.
Right.
You know what I'm saying? And that's very different.
Very.
Right. It's a judge. It's a female judge in Rutherford County, Tennessee. You know what this judge did? She took the bar exam like 9 times, 10 times, finally passes. She became a judge. You know what she's done in Tennessee? She has sentenced black people.
Yes.
Black children.
Black children.
To sentences that didn't even exist because of her.
And over like 20 years, fam, or something.
Children. Fuck a joke. Tell me about that.
Right.
The world is offended that this. I don't live in a safe space and all that. Okay, all right. But shit is really happening. Mm-hmm. Really happening. I can't tell you what might happen. I can't tell you how my words may affect people. But I do know what is happening now.
Right.
And there's not the ire and anger associated with real, tangible tragedies that exist for the imaginary ones.
Well said.
On Broadway, get them tickets. DL, I love you, brother. It's been great.
Likewise,
I need you to pull up, man. I haven't seen you, man. Like, I used to get to argue with you every day.
Yeah. And now you're too famous. Hey, man, I gotta tell you, your Warriors. I didn't. Those Golden State Warriors. They might.
They're
be
not
problem.
His Warriors.
No, I'm a Laker fan.
He's just from there.
I'm from the Bay, but I'm a Laker fan.
But I tell you what, well, we have more problems in a little bit right now.
Oh, man, it's disastrous. Listen.
At least they won the fight. That was pretty good.
And they look cool under pressure. Nobody was panicking.
And they stood up for LeBron. No one was going to let them get to LeBron. I wasn't mad at it.
Would you let somebody get to your meal ticket?
No, if someone was coming after Ebro, I'd stand right in front of him.
Right, you goddamn right you would. Anybody snatch my Lunchable.
Thanks, DL.
DL, we love you, man. Yes, sir.
Love you back,
yes,
man.
Sir.
Y'all too. Take care.
Later, man.
Mm-hmm.
Hot 97 Summer Jam 2024. Performing this year.
Yo, it's Doja Cat.
Yeah.
Hey. What's happening? Your boy Offset.
I will be live.
June 2nd.
Sexy Red.
This your boy Mac, man.
What's up, rap world? This is Rat Man.
Sleepy Hollow.
Yo, what up, my people? It's your boy David O.
T. Grizzly. 41. Hot 97 Summer Jam 2024. Tickets on sale now at Ticketmaster.com.